Good to see everyone here this evening as we worship the Lord together. We know, being the summer, of course, we still have some who are away from us, and pray for their safety. We'll have next weekend, of course, the 4th of July weekend. There's so many things going on throughout the month of July. I want to think about also the gospel meeting beginning August 1st with Coopertown. We're doing going back to that. We had to take a year off from that last year, of course, because of COVID, but that will resume this year, August 1st through the 4th, and over at Coopertown the first two nights, we'll have ice cream, do all the normal things that we've done in the past, meet there the first two nights, here the next two, and we are thankful that we were able to do that this year. Nathan Diller, a friend of Jeff Smith's, a preacher at Coopertown, is going to be speaking. I'll be looking forward to his lessons. So keep that on your calendars. Make plans to be with us that week as we worship the Lord together. Keep the Peary family in your prayers. The family lost their young daughter, about 2 years old, this past week. He is the children's minister at Copper Grove Church of Christ. Also need to think about people they're still searching for, and the apartment collapse in Florida. Such a tragic event that took place there, and a lot of work still to do, recoveries and so forth. So a lot of things in the world going on that need our prayers, but we have a lot to be thankful for, because we're blessed every day by the Lord. And as we live this life in this place, it's often very difficult. Let's go to our Father for a word of prayer. Lord, we are thankful this evening that you have blessed us in so many ways and blessing us with the opportunity to be here tonight to worship. We're thankful for every person in this room. We're thankful for their faith, the example they set for others. We know each person in this room is just a human being who at times will fail to meet the mark that you've set for us, that will sin, and we pray that you forgive us when we sin. Because we know that you're faithful to do that. And enough blood was shed by your Son 2,000 years ago to wipe away the sins of all those who come to you today and all the sins that we may commit as Christians. We are thankful for that once and for all sacrifice of your only begotten Son. We are mindful this evening of the hurt that is being experienced by the Peary family, loss of their 2-year-old daughter. We know they have so many emotions right now and so many questions, and we know their faith is tested. We pray that you surround them with people who will strengthen them, lift them up, who will provide for them in any way they can, as we rely on one another as Christians. We know that there is a terrible building collapse in Florida. Many people, over 100, are still missing, and we pray that as many as possible can be found alive and that they can be treated for injuries. But we know many have lost their lives, and we pray for their families. Then Barrett Conifer, and the Conifer family, as they await the results from Barrett's genetic testing, seeing he has muscular dystrophy. We know that Joseph and Ashley's parents are very anxious tonight and thinking about his life and his health. And we pray that you give them peace and strengthen their faith during this difficult time. We know that we have just a few days on this earth to live. We pray that every day that we live, that we are a good example for Christ in all that we do. Continue to watch over us. Continue to give us mercy and grace. Forgive us when we sin. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to think this evening just for a few minutes about the lost art of modesty. And the reason I call it art is that it's not clearly defined anywhere as far as exactly what modesty is. Now, as soon as I say the word modesty, you're thinking about the clothes that people wear. You're probably thinking about the clothes that women wear. And we have narrowed this topic down to that. But if you see the word in Scripture, anything related to that subject, and you see actual definitions of modesty, you can see that it's much broader than that. You know, when you see a dictionary definition, you see it's behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid impropriety or indecency. So modesty is behavior that's trying to avoid indecency. So it would be immodest for somebody to use bad language. It'd be immodest for somebody to show off in any way, just in their behavior. They'd be wearing all the right clothes, be covered head to toe, nothing too tight, nothing too revealing, and still be immodest, according to this basic definition. The manner, not just the behavior, but the way they go about behaving, could be immodest. And of course, someone's appearance could be immodest. Another definition, the state of being unassuming. Modesty is the state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's own abilities. This is sort of a separate category of modesty. This is probably another one that you would think of, not just what women wear, but say, okay, what's another way to think of modesty? This is probably the one you'll think of, is someone is modest when they say, you know, that they let their own work speak for themselves. They let their own intellect speak for itself, their own talents, all those things. They don't promote themselves. You say it's a modest person. It's a humble person. Use humility along with modesty. Those go hand in hand. Why do we only emphasize modesty toward girls and women? We know there's passages like these two, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 2, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 in the first three verses. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won over without the word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not merely be external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Looking at just those two passages, you see how similar they are in a few ways. The biggest point being, Paul and Peter, different writers here, but both saying that what matters is what's on the inside, and the inside needs to match what's on the outside. Let your concern, let your emphasis and how you present yourself to the world be about your character and who you are, and what you wear on the outside should match the inside. So we see that's the biggest point. But also notice, and you might breeze right through this and not pay attention to the words, because we think of this subject in 21st century America context. Notice what he mentions in terms of not being modest. Not doing what? Here in 1 Peter 3, the wearing of gold jewelry, putting on dresses, we have in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. Have we ever thought of this issue of modesty in terms of gold and jewelry? It's mentioned in both passages. Do we ever think about somebody who is a little too flashy in what they wear, and wanting everyone to know that what they wear is very expensive? I'm sure it's a bit off-putting. It's not as if we're fine with that and we just brush it aside. We probably look at somebody like that that's always trying to make sure everybody knows what they can afford. We can say this, and oh, that's too much. They're a show-off. Well, we usually don't associate with modesty. When you think of that term, well, it's what women and girls wear. They need to be modest in that. So that's the second thing that we can note about these two passages. But the third thing is, notice he says in 1 Timothy 2, a type of appearance that is consistent with one, as he said, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. What you say about your character, what you say about what you believe should match your appearance. The inside should look like the outside, and what you say should be reflected in how you look, how the world sees you. So a few things there in those two passages that I think that we miss. In the 1 Peter chapter 3 passage, we also note that it is specific to wives in relation to their husband and how their good behavior, if he is not a Christian, that their behavior itself, how they present themselves, how they show themselves to the world might win over their husband. Immodesty, being immodest, is very fashionable today. In both cases, in both senses, both in dress and both in showing off. Today, for attention, people will use their body. Today, for attention, people will use their money. Today, for attention, people will use their education. And people will use their story, their history. You can see all of these things on a daily basis in front of you. And there's nothing in the world that has fueled immodesty more than the internet. The ability in a split second to take a picture that you have on your computer, take it somewhere yourself or your phone, put it online, that the world now can see what you want them to see. Present yourself to the world a certain way. Look at me. Look at me because of my body. Look at me because of the money, what I was able to buy, what I can afford. Hey, notice how smart I am. You need to listen to me because I have a certain amount of education. I need to be acknowledged as an expert in my field. Hey, look at me because I have a certain story. And the problem is, nearly all of these things, in some sense, really can be hidden. If you take care of yourself as you're a particularly healthy person, well, that's obviously going to be seen by everybody. We look at each other. We can't avoid seeing each other and the condition each person is in. If someone is wealthy, that's not inherently a sin. And through that person's wealth, they're able to buy something maybe you can't afford. And what's wrong with that? Someone wants to excel in education, wants to get as many degrees as they can. Is that a bad thing? I have a friend of mine, I think he has 3 or 4 graduate degrees. I asked him about it one time and said, you know, this maxes out at some point. You can't make enough money, you know, eventually you're not getting more benefit from all these degrees. He said, I'm not doing it for that. He said, I love school. And I just thought, well, you're the one. Okay, I found you. There's the one guy. And so he said, I just love going to classes. I love learning. I'll look at a college curriculum, their catalog rather, a degree program, and think, oh, I love to learn about that class. I'm going to take that. And off he goes. Is that showing off? No, he said, I just love to learn. And somebody with a story they tell, their own history, that can be very inspiring for people. Even when it's not a history of struggle, I overcame this, and I overcame that. It's their success. may be the great spark of inspiration for somebody else to improve their life, do something very good. So this subject is very subjective at times. When some woman braids her hair today, I don't know that anyone here would say, wow, she's being immodest. It's listed in Scripture in a discussion of immodesty. It's a bit of a moving target. It's a bit of a difficult thing to clearly define and say, this is exactly what it is, what it isn't. We can look at our Amish and Mennonite friends and ask them about modesty, and they're going to give us an entirely different definition. What that means, particularly when it comes to appearance, but in all phases of their lives, you see that modesty in all things is very valuable. What does the Bible say? We've looked at 1 Timothy chapter 9, and chapter 2, and verses 9 and 10. We've also looked at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Notice what Proverbs says. Proverbs is a great book to go to on a lot of these issues that are about principles. They're about being a bit subjective. They're about making good judgments. Modesty would fall into this category, so Proverbs helps us out. Chapter 27, verse 3. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. That's plain. The Bible forbids bragging, patting oneself on the back. Say, let somebody else do that. And when you know you around somebody who talks about themselves all the time, who you can tell in a conversation isn't really listening to you, they're just waiting for you to stop talking so they can talk about themselves. They can talk about their experience, which was better than your experience, and you caught the 3-pound fish, they caught the 4-pound fish. Everything is about their own success. Look at what I did. We know that that can happen. We know those types of people. The Bible says, don't do that. Do what you do. Use the talents you have. And all, as we said earlier, with those other four things, it will be self-evident. Don't do your own praising. Let somebody else do that. Let somebody else give you the honor, as they should, that Romans 13 teaches us. And we also have Isaiah 53 in the great chapter of the Old Testament, Messianic prophecy, and all the things it said about the future of Messiah, that one of the key components in several verses hint or address this issue was that he was modest. There's nothing about his appearance that stood out. There was a look at me thing. Jesus would have had no interest and no thought of having special attention given to his appearance. There's nothing about his methods, his motives, his mission, that was about bragging on some particular personal characteristic. His mission was about the gospel, about saving the lost, about spiritual matters. There are several misconceptions about modesty. We say women are responsible for men's actions. She was asking for it. Something bad happens to a woman because of something she wore. We may draw that conclusion. I don't even know how many times that happens. There's no way to determine that. Personally, my opinion, I think that is taken way too far and assigned to too many situations. But we tend to give men a pass on these things. Something bad happens to a woman because of something we might think caused it along these lines. Each person is responsible for themselves. She made me do it. He made me do it. Something else made me do it. I couldn't stop. I couldn't help it. So on and so forth. We allow somebody to say that. We allow that to take hold as an excuse. We're endorsing bad behavior. We shouldn't do that as Christians. We should never say, well, because of this person, somebody obviously couldn't help themselves and did this bad thing. Another misconception, there's no dispute as to what clothing is modest and immodest. Of course there is. What is modest to one is immodest to someone else. We see, you can travel the world, you get on an airplane and land in Asia, land in Europe, land in the United States, land in South America. Each place you get off the airplane, you're going to see people dress differently and have a very different idea of what modesty is, not just in appearance and clothing and things like that, but in the way they talk, the type of house they live in, what they have in their possessions. It is greatly a subjective situation, not clearly defined. And maybe the biggest misconception of all is that it is impossible for men to be immodest. Well, of course they can. It's that second definition where men most often fit into. There are many, many, many immodest men. The way they talk, the way they behave, attention seeking is, again, a tremendous problem in our culture today, but it's not confined to just women or to just men. It can cover anybody, anywhere. There's nothing in Scripture that tells a Christian what they need to do on a daily basis is self-promotion. What they need to do is to get others to look at them and elevate them. The Bible does say that we need to behave in a certain way, and it even says, Jesus even said, that we will get attention for that. He said what? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Again, we can't hide from people. They're going to see everything we do. Jesus knew that. He says, they're going to see your good works, but they're not going to glorify you. They glorify the Father who is in heaven. All the good that we do should be directed toward giving glory to God, bringing others to Him. Ask yourself, how will I get attention tomorrow, or do I need attention? If you're going to get attention, let it be for something you did that was faithful, so that someone can be inspired by that. But you don't need attention for other things. You may need to ask yourself, why do I crave attention? Definitely be a question I'd ask a room full of high school students, a room full of college students. There is sort of an epidemic today of self-esteem issues where, let me get attention. I need somebody to look at me. And when someone gets into that mindset, you can see there is an insecurity. There is a lack of self-respect. It constantly craves attention. I don't think enough people are noticing me. Why are you thinking that way? Why do you need that attention? What is lacking in the way you see yourself that you feel that passion every day? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 applies to so many things in life, applies to everything in life, actually. Whatever you do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We don't need to do anything by word or deed in the name of ourselves, in the name of someone else. We need to do all things in the name of the Lord. If Jesus could be modest, so can we. Jesus could have had everything, could have done anything, had all the power in the world as the Son of God, have anything, do anything, be anywhere, and live modestly. With all that power, he refrained from doing that, from having that attention-seeking mindset. With our very limited possessions and resources and talents, I think we should be able to rein those things in. Our outsides should always reflect our insides. Jesus was the physical manifestation of God himself, being the fully divine Son of God. When you look at Christ, you look at his life, the way he talked, what he did, all those things. You can say, the more I'm like that, the more modest I am, the more I'm like Jesus, the closer I am to God in my speech, my behavior, my manner. We said earlier that humility and modesty go together. Maybe the most modest or humble thing someone can do is become a Christian. Because that's a person who says, I'm not smart enough to save myself. I'm not strong enough to save myself. I'm not good enough to save myself. Only God can save me. Only the blood of Jesus can wash my sins. So this evening, someone needs to humbly come forward and ask to be baptized into Christ. We'd love to baptize them this evening. If you need to humbly come forward and say, I'm fighting some things in my life. There's burdens that are heavy. There's sin in my life. Whatever the case is, say, I just need help. That's a statement of modesty and humility. We would pray with you tonight. Support you tonight. We do everything we can to lift you up and give you encouragement as Christians. Whatever it is, please come while we stand.